Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive, turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is the voice I found. For those who lost their voice, I sing it loud. I keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free. A song for
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, everybody, I'm Naomi Ekperrigan.
And I'm Andy Beckerman.
We're a real-life couple and a real-life couple of comedians. And we're the hosts of the podcast Couples Therapy.
We're the only comedy relationship podcast ever. Yeah, I said it. And we're so good, we've been written up in both the New York Times and we made Grindr's list of top podcasts.
Yes, we're giving you that high-low appeal, trust. On the show, we talk to guests like Bob the Drag Queen, Angelica Ross,
Bowen Yang, Janelle James, Danny Pudi, Darcy Carden, Paul F. Tompkins,
and more. All about love, mental health, and everything in between. And we answer your relationship questions. We are two unlicensed comedians just trying to help you out.
So open your hearts, loosen your butts, because we got a lot of laughs
and a lot of real talk just for you.
Download Couples Therapy wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, your host of Keeping It Real on Purpose. This is the place where we meet real people doing real things in real time, all on purpose. So I'm so excited to have this next guest with us because, you know, we have weird things go on here. I'm even weird, but this is my first weirdo photographer. So I'm excited to get into what she knows and what she's doing. Jen Sulak. Am I saying it right?
Close enough. Sulak.
Sulak. Okay, see? Okay. But you corrected me. I thank you so much. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to keep it real on the podcast.
Yes. Absolutely. You got to keep it real. So tell us how you show up in the world. Really show up.
Well, I do have to tell you, this has been quite the adventure since being a wedding industry professional for about a total of 16 years as a wedding photographer. Right. But only in the last 3 years have I come out as Weirdo Weddings Photography, believe it or not. I knew that nobody was doing this in the industry. Nobody is confident enough to say the word weirdo in that positive way, that yes. I feel like the wedding industry needed somebody like me to just kind of step up and just say, you know what? There's a lot of weirdos out here, and we are internal right. weirdos as well as external yes. weirdos.
That's right.
You yes, may or may not know where we are. But here's the thing about weddings in general, a lot of couples are like, they're getting to the point now where they just want to get married the way they are, the way they yes. want to do it. And yes. without a 20-point checklist of here's the things that you need to do at your wedding, it's right. kind of like, here's the things that I want to do at my wedding.
Right.
Yeah. So Weirdo Weddings is just like another amazing accomplishment of, you know, extension really of the wedding yeah. industry saying, do yeah. the things that you want to do on your wedding right. day. So that's me as yeah. a wedding photographer, is just supporting that and just capturing yeah. all those wonderful moments.
Oh, that's nice. That's really beautiful. And it shows how sensitive you are to, you know, differences. And that's really what it's all about, is bringing the creative out in people. Cause we're all creative. But you bring out the creative in them. That's really marvelous. I love it. Love it. So tell us how you got started. How did you get started? Like, how did this pop into your mind?
Right. This is one of those things that a lot of us have talked about, the pandemic and how it completely rocked our world, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So
this is how my pandemic went. Potty training my child. And then having a Weirdo Weddings baby in the summer of 2020. Because... Oh. When events and in-person events were stripped from us, we didn't know what to yes. do in the weddings and events industry. Yeah. So, and I thought to myself, well, I could do what every other photographer is doing, or I could do something new and different, which I feel like I've been doing all along for the last right. 13 plus years,
right.
was already working with really quirky and creative people. So the only thing I did was I gave it a name. Like, I feel like giving it a name gave me something mm-hmm. to walk into that was already waiting for me. And I think that's what was exciting about, it was exciting and devastating during the pandemic to be completely shut right. down, right? Like we had to soul search. We had to think, we had to really address the state of the world and the yeah. state of our city, the state of our yeah. state, you know, everything yeah. that was going on in our world at the time. And I thought to myself, what do I have to lose by extending my brand, I guess you mm-hmm. could say. I've already yeah. been Pink Light Images for 13 plus years. Uh-huh. And I thought to myself, what if I extend my brand to Weirdo Weddings, knowing that I've already been working with weirdos this whole time? Like, I mean, seriously. And a friend of mine started a convention. Literally, we call ourselves weirdos. I mean, it's just, that's all we do, is we're artists, we're weirdos,
yes.
acknowledge yes. how quirky we are. We think yeah. differently. We love looking at the world. And we actually, it's not just about how we look at the world. It's how we embrace mm. everybody else looking at the world too.
Yes, that's great.
We don't all have to see it the same way, but it's like mm. that community really, really ignited something in me that helped me take this into the wedding industry as a whole, because this idea is so... Mm. off the beaten path.
Yes.
It's yeah. like, what in the world was I thinking when I came up with this name? Well, it was really easy to name it, but now I have to claim it, right? Like, it's like,
yes,
this
yes.
is my claim. This is what I'm standing up in. A friend of mine said, I'm planting a flag down. This is my flag for this is the beacon for all the people
That's
that are
right.
looking for somebody like me yeah. that is a weirdo that just loves to let people be who they are.
Yes.
No matter what you are, no matter who you are, no mm-hmm. matter what you look like, no matter what you want yeah. your wedding to look like.
Yeah.
A lot of the misconceptions that comes with Weirdo Weddings is that they all have to be kind of like crazy, thematic, over the top. And I'm like, no, right. no. You have no idea how many weirdos out there just want to go to the courthouse because they don't want to be seen in public. Or you have folks that don't even want to do their vows in public. They just want to kind of like run off and get married and be done. So I love the fact that I always have to think about, now that I've named it, now I have to talk about it a lot. So this is a great exercise in talking about my weirdos.
Yes, you have to, and you have to do that. I love how you're taking up space. I always talk about to any of my clients is take up your own space. Don't just be like in the industry or, you know, in this. Take up space. Own your space. And like your friend said, you put the stake down. This is where I am. But you're owning, you're literally grabbing onto that. Because you can put a stake down and, you know, claim the space. But you, I mean, you're right. You're just like in it. Like you're all in it. Like you're in it. Like you just
moving. I am owning it. Yeah, I am owning it. It's I'm 3 years in. I'm just owning it.
And that's really, really important, is owning your space, because all of us have a space. We just got to find it sometimes, you know, through the skills that we have, you know, and work with them. But I love how you're just in there. You're just in there. You're like, you're a balloon, but you're, all that air is you. It's all you, you know. How do you, you know, when you come upon, let's take the first example you had, right? You know, they just want to get married at the courthouse. Now you're the photographer. Explain your creativity around getting them set to take pictures.
A lot of what I end up doing is asking my clients what they're into. If there's certain things that they're nerdy about, I love incorporating that kind of style. But I also love stepping back and just letting them be who they are and showing up as they are. And I feel like in the photography aspect, I can just show up and capture them as they are some days, where I don't even need a Pinterest board. I don't need a mood board to tell me what they want. They just want somebody to just be there and capture as they're going through it. And I've had countless courthouse weddings is a great example, because a lot of people think courthouses are boring and ugly.
Yeah, no.
To a point, I do think some courthouses are a little, you know, they're not the greatest to look at. Yeah. However, when you bring in a photographer like me who wants to see beyond that boring courthouse flooring, let's just be honest, some of those carpets are a little crazy. But let's just say that you're getting married at a courthouse in a city that you enjoy desperately as a couple. You enjoy the neighborhood. You go out to the local restaurants. You go out to the local parks. And you want to enjoy that as part of your wedding ceremony. Gotcha. So the courthouse does not take that long. So what I do as a creative is I come in and say, what's important to you? What do you feel like around the city that is important to you that you want to capture in these lifestyle types of moments? And I love that my couples are not afraid to be who they are. And I sometimes only have to do minimal coaching before they're like, yes, I enjoy this, this, and this, and let's go photograph this, this, and this with us enjoying that together. Nice. So I think that, you know, no matter what couple I'm working with, as long as they're open with who they are and what they enjoy, it makes my job so much easier when they're already in love and they just run around the city together. For me, I'm in the Dallas area, but this applies to any city. Right. Any city I've ever visited and traveled to, my couples love exploring and enjoying the things that they love to do.
Great. Yeah. What's one of the places that stands out in your memory, you know, about one of your clients, you know, that you've traveled to?
Oh my gosh. Oh, so traveling is a great teacher. Let me just tell you that much. I love the fact that I had clients take me all the way to MIT, believe it or not, Boston, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. They got married at a little chapel there at MIT, which I did not know existed until they called me up. And I'm such a mid-century modern kind of person.
Okay.
It was a beautiful architectural moment for me as a photographer and appreciator of good architecture, right?
Yeah.
So I love the fact that they were so offbeat enough that they found this idea of getting married in this mid-century modern chapel on the MIT campus. Mm-hmm. And I just love that that was very memorable for me because it was a very memorable client. They just did whatever right. they wanted. And they right. called their wedding party mm-hmm. Avengers. And I was like, well, if you're Avengers, I feel like I have to get you little capes. And so I got everybody I got everybody little capes for a photo shoot and they took them off.
But nice. I was like,
everybody got little miniature capes to wear for our photos before the wedding.
Yeah.
It was just super special. And that's one of many, but like that's the first one that comes to mind as far as
right.
amazing clients mixed with amazing architecture and location. And the Wonderful. Fact that I do travel for my work as well, whenever possible, yeah. it just gives me joy to find people where they are, no matter what state, city they are, yeah. Right. And get to know them a little bit better and yeah. where they live, right? And how yeah. they live their mm-hmm. life. So I just have wonderful couples. It's endless stories yeah. of wonderful couples.
That's beautiful. Can you share with my audience? Because I know that, you know, all the beauty's great. It's beautiful. Yes. It's great. It's lovely. But one of your challenges you had during this span of time as a photographer, and then especially around when you shifted gears to become your own brand with Weirdo Weddings, what was one of the challenges?
I think one of the challenges is always going to come up, and it's the pushback you get from friends and family when you want to do it your way.
Ooh,
and a lot of the times me as the photographer, I'm sort of the mediator between the two.
Right.
And just to give you an example, like I had a couple that really did want to do like say fairy wings or elf ears. Right.
Right.
I'm all about that. Like I go to the Renaissance right. festivals. I'm very much into the whimsical characters right. of the world, but a lot of it tends to go back to family and friend pushback when they want mm-hmm. to be thematic. Okay. So that's one thing in general that I find that comes mm-hmm. up a lot is having okay. to help them navigate how to make it a great event and also satisfy what they want in the photography. So gotcha. It's like, sometimes I feel like you almost have to do two different photo shoots in a way. Like if you want to be super thematic, then we do it a mm-hmm. portion of the day. And if you, if right. you want to satisfy your family, then you don't get married with your elf ears right. and your
get it. I
do
I get
feel
it.
Like, I mean, I agree that whoever is putting in the money for the wedding should have a say, right. you know, if it's the parents, if it's a yeah. caretaker, yeah. if somebody who's your adopted mom or dad, that if they're paying for it, then we should listen to them. But at the same time, it's really hard for me to be like, let the couple do what they want. They really have a right. great idea and let's go do right. it.
Yeah. 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 I get it. Oh. And, you know, being, you know, part of a tradition, sometimes people want, hey, I want a picture that could put up and I don't have to explain all the time. What are those ears? You know?
Yeah. You know? And I totally understand that perspective too. Like yeah. I am a little bit old school with a little bit new school. So it's like, yeah. I know what it's like to want to have that really nice portrait of your family and whoever's yeah. getting married on the wall and, or in a book. And you really right. want to have what they looked like and felt like in that moment. But I also mm-hmm. understand the whimsical side of, I want to get married yeah. like this.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. How do you as a, unique business find your clients?
Oh, this is a very loaded question. because I feel like
I love loaded. Love it.
It's an ongoing process. Okay. Like I told y'all in the beginning, it's something I stepped into that I've already been working with. Okay. But I feel like the way we speak to people and the words that we use matter quite a bit. As far as you know, if you're a nerd about something, a show or a movie or any kind of thing that you really nerd out about, you want to use that type of language when you're talking to your potential clients.
Gotcha.
And when you're talking to them about what you offer and how you can connect with them on their nerdiness mm-hmm. is how I approach this. It's because mm-hmm. like, I may not be a nerd, like a hardcore nerd about say Lord of the Rings, but I will right. support you on everything from Mordor to the Shire because right. I understand the totality of the nerddom or the fandom.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm not nerdy about every single thing, but I think what my superpower is that I come in and support you on what you're nerdy about.
That's good.
A lot of things, because that's where the artist side of me comes in. If I'm very artistic and idea centered about designing your wedding day, then I'm thinking about what would you do if you had a Wizard of Oz wedding? What would you do if you had a Beetlejuice wedding or a Lord of the Rings wedding or just a Renaissance festival wedding? There's so many different ways you could go that's thematic, but also fun and enjoyable for everybody. And it's, for me as the photographer, I want to capture everything about that. Like if you've made stuff, there's so many of my couples that make their own things and they make their outfits or they make their favors. Or, you know, in my community, we also do a lot of hand fastings. So there's a lot of cords that go that are involved with the hand fastings of the arms together where they make their own cords. And then they have a whole ceremony just based on that.
Right. But,
yeah. So I just love the fact that I feel like I can encourage people to just be creative and then come in behind that and photograph whatever they've done. If that makes sense.
You know, it absolutely does make sense. It makes a whole lot of sense. Can you share with my audience what you would say to, you know, anyone, let's say a younger person who's starting out and really wants to be a photographer, but, you know, maybe may not have the equipment. Share with them like what they could do to start getting that, sharpening that creative eye. How about that?
Well, I'll tell you this much. When I started, I didn't even know you could do this as a career. Honestly, I had no idea. I got married in 2005, 18 years ago. And that's kind of when the journey started for me. The digital world now is so amazing that if you're a photographer and you have an idea that this is really calling to you, because there's a variety of different ways of photography you can jump into. But I'm always going to say it's not about your gear. It's about you stepping out with your eye, whatever that you have, whatever vision that you have, however you can capture the vision is where your power is. It's not about the equipment. If I had a dime for everybody that says, oh, well, my camera is just not good enough. And I was like, that's not what's making it happen. It is your eye.
That's good.
Meaning that my 5-megapixel camera, like when I was shooting that, like 2005, 2006, it was my point of view that stood out. It wasn't how many megapixels I had.
That's good.
I think it's important for all the newbies out there. If you are going to get into photography of any kind, just understand that everybody's going to be saying, get this gear, get this gear. I'm just going to say, find out what works for you, no matter what brand it is.
Right.
And mine just happens to be like Canon, but whatever brand it is for you, whatever technology works for you, go ahead and pursue that. Because if it's something that keeps calling to you in the middle of the night and you're like, I need to go do this thing, then you probably need to go do that thing.
Right.
And it doesn't even matter if you start off. Me, I started off in architecture. Architecture does not talk back to you. You don't have to.
No.
You know, still life. You don't have to worry about still life. Still life's not going to like yell at you because you did something wrong.
Right.
It's a long journey that took me into the wedding industry. And there's so many different facets of photography you can explore. And I would encourage you to be an explorer of these things. If it calls out to you creatively, be an adventurer. I like to think about some parts of my life are like Indiana Jones. Like you're looking for things that are important and you're on the adventure, and it could be a dark and in a jungle. It could have an unknown path in front of you, but I think the journey is worth it when it calls to you. And especially if you have an eye, these are the kinds of things that you need to leap out and do it. Just leap out and do it. We're in this great space of society where we can actually leap out and do more things we could ever do because of technology. And especially digital technology and cameras, it has come such a long way. So I would encourage you, if you're a newbie, go explore a little bit and think about what you want to do and write it down on paper. And really explore it. Explore it. Like let yourself explore it, especially if you're like, if you were like me having the full-time job and then doing it on the side for a while. That's a good place to be because you can explore in what you want to do versus what you have to do.
Right. How long did it take you from the shift from having a full-time job to doing this on the side, how long did it take you to shift into that?
It was probably 1 to 2 years of doing it on the side where I felt comfortable.
Okay.
To leap into it full time. And even then, it took me 3 months to get used to that, because being an entrepreneur and working for somebody else is two different worlds.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you haven't grown up around somebody who's an entrepreneur or who has started their own business, you have a lot of a learning curve. And I had a lot of a learning curve. Now, again, the world is different now, 18 to 18 years later. A lot of us have started our own businesses.
Right.
But when you don't have somebody in your life who has started a business, get yourself around other people that have started businesses, because they can easily get you acclimated to what it's like as a mindset, because it is a shift. It's a shift to being your own boss. And if anybody's like me out here, like where you're like had a hard time in the beginning, because it's time management, goals, meeting people. I'm very much in the, in between the introvert and extrovert world, where I'm like, oh crap, I've got to talk to people. You know, it's one of those.
You got to talk to people.
It's one of those things where sometimes introverts do make the best business owners, but socialization part can get exhausting depending on your personality type. And I want y'all to hear me when I say that your personality is exactly what it needs to be. Please don't change for somebody else. And please don't, please don't try to conform to the standards of these checklists, because even though I am one way, it doesn't mean I haven't changed over the years. I was very shy in school to like being very somewhat people oriented now, because I have this balance of too many peopling or too less peopling. And I like falling right in the middle, where I can be around just enough people to energize me and keep going and just inspire people. I'm always inspired by others. And just their life stories and their creative stories. But yeah, for everybody needing to pursue this, your personality plays into a lot of your business style too. And be okay with that. Be okay with who you are as a business owner. And if you don't know how to do it, start learning how to delegate the things you can't do or won't do.
Ooh, that's good. You are talking my language.
I know.
Love it. Audience, do you hear this?
Yes.
Do you hear what Jen is saying? It's so good. Good stuff. You know, networking. I love how you talked. You said, you know, you weren't always like that.
Yeah.
Neither was I.
I've
changed. Tell you somebody. Yeah. And somebody called me, said, I know you. Like, and so we went to school together. She's saying, I want to know. I see you on Facebook and I see you doing all this great stuff. I want to know the kid that I knew in eighth grade that wouldn't talk to anybody is now like this amazing person that's going all over and doing all these things. How did it happen? How did it take place? And she was, we talked, must have talked for like 2 hours. But you grow into it. You know, you really grow into it. You just, it's almost like, I do get tired. Let me tell you, I want to tell you this before I forget. Yeah. Jen, I get tired of people sometimes. It's like, okay, time to shut everybody off and everything.
Walk
I get
away.
Tired of them. I was like, no more.
Walk no away.
I don't want it. You know, it's like, no. So I do get into my introvert time where I want to be at home, you know, have a cover. I don't even want to read anything. I honestly don't even want to look at things that were words or anything like that. I don't want anything. I just want to be alone. You know, I just want to be just alone and just like relax, you know? So yeah. I get that. And I love that you talk about growing into this. You know, so many times as women, we code. So whatever the standard people tell us to get into, we get into, you know, we get into that mode or that, you know, we just play the role and then we burn out after a while because we're playing such a big role and making those, you know, going by those check marks. So Jen is saying this today, stop it. Don't do it.
Know just be who you yourself. Are. I was going to say, like, one of the biggest things we could ever learn is know who we are.
Yeah, that's good.
And
that's
know really how good. We work, because it's going to change. It's probably going to change after years and years. Again, been doing this for 16 plus years now.
Yeah.
I really, really think I have honed in onto a lot of what I enjoy about my work. And I don't want to say job, but career. My career doesn't just involve photography. It involves the arts. It involves podcasts like this. Yeah. It involves speaking to people and connecting to people and making art with each other. And just all these things that if you do, for me, if I do too much of one thing, I know I'll burn out. And I think that's important as we go on in this world, is that realize when you're starting to burn out. And try to see it for what it is, and then start working towards a solution to not get burned out.
Yeah,
and have some fun in this life.
Yes, I've been a lot I'm about it. I'm about that fun.
I've been talking a lot about, like, a lot of people have asked me, "Do you even like your life?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, now I do." It's like all of those things, like, what are you working towards to enjoy your life? And if you're working so hard, you're never enjoying your life. I have this problem of not being able to, it's a skill I'm working on. Some of these are skills that you can work on.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's actually sitting down and just looking at your year objectively. What did you do? What do you feel you did good? And celebrate it. It's really but it's hard when you want to just
It really is. Celebration is hard. Celebrating ourselves as women anyway is very, very hard.
Very hard. And I just got an award this week in the mail from
congratulations.
I work with a PR company where I talk with a lot of publications, and I put a lot of input into articles and things for the wedding industry, and they gave me an award. A trophy. It's the most cheesiest, wonderful thing ever. Because when you're a solopreneur and you're a solo worker and you have zero coworkers, it's just you and your business. What are you going to do? Pat yourself on the back? I mean,
you gotta do that. You just really gotta like reach back. I mean, I found myself doing that too. I was like, hey, I don't have anybody around. So, you know, even if you tell somebody, like, I didn't know that. And it takes away from the, you know, yay, let's do this. So I get excited. I just get excited about doing something. And then I'll go out and treat myself. Oh, let me go to Starbucks or something and sit like I'm, you know, the queen or something. Like, you know, celebrate it. You have to celebrate. That's so important. Very important.
So important. Like, I have not been good at it, and I'm looking to get better at that.
Yes.
I've already needed it. I need to put it in my calendar actually to sit and look at my year and say, Jen, I want you to be excited about what you've done, not what you've not done, what you failed on, but look at what you have done in the time that you were given for this 2023 year when we're recording this. And then, you know, looking forward to 2024, because I sometimes feel like our outlooks for 2023 kind of propels us into the next year, right?
Yes,
like
it does.
Whatever year that we're in, if we look at it at a negative aspect, if we didn't fulfill all the things and we didn't do all the checklists, I would like to challenge y'all to have a forgiveness list instead of a resolution list.
Yes.
You need to forgive yourself for the things that you may have fallen short on, and forgive yourself for the things that you may have let somebody down on, but knowing that that's not your identity.
Yes. And I will add to that list, instead of doing resolutions, do a review of what you've done. Just like you said, do a review of your year and see the celebrations. And that's what you celebrate, because then you'll know, hey, this is what I did this year. I am popping. Like, I'm doing it. You know, I'm really doing it. And there, but I forgive myself for letting that. I forgive somebody, you know, not letting a so-and-so down. You go through the list, but it looks different. It feels different, right?
Much lighter when you can forgive yourself for anything you may have forgotten to forgive yourself for.
Right.
And exactly. I've been talking about it for weeks of like, okay, I want to walk into 2024 without regret. I want to walk into 2024 without things that are on my shoulders that don't need to be there. And I think I'm in this place of like, it's just so nice to be in this place of recognizing what is really important yeah. versus what everybody tells us is important.
That's important. Yeah.
Very important to just be like,
yeah, that's good.
Listen to your inner voice versus the 5,000 voices telling you what to do. And I think you'll find yourself in a place of much more peace than you ever, like your sign behind you says peace.
Yes.
I want to walk into 2024 with more peace than I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. I am so excited that I'm excited for your energy. I will tell you, I love it. It's exciting to meet someone that's really embracing where they are and who they are and what they want.
Yeah.
I'm totally excited about that. And this brings us to the end of the show. Is there anything that you could say that you haven't said, that you dropped so many jewels? We're still picking them up. So is there anything you could say to the audience and send us out with more goodness? Is there anything else?
I'm going to send you out with this today. And I've been challenging so many people with this simple exercise.
Okay.
Is that if you are hiding who you really are, one of the first steps that you can take is to be bold and get out on social media and share one thing about you that nobody ever knew, or you haven't shared with anybody because you were too ashamed to share.
That's great.
I really think that there is power in being vulnerable with people. You don't have to go deep and dark, but you can go with something fun and light. Share with them what's important to you and what you're doing in your life right now as far as projects. Any project is important, especially if it involves your voice. Please get out there and share one thing on your chosen social media avenue and share something about yourself that is very unique and special to just you, because I guarantee you, your niche needs you.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, I am not going to touch that. Not touching it. Okay. This is Edna White, your host on Keeping It Real on Purpose with my guest here today, Widow Weddings, Jen. Thank you for being here today. We are signing off. Thank you guys so much. See you next time around.
Bye, y'all.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
We're reconsidering everything right now. What is time post-COVID? What is truth in Trump's America? Is You've Got Mail secretly a movie about a creepy gaslighting stalker? We can't answer the first two questions, but we have opinions about the third. We on Hot and Bothered are revisiting romance movies of the past and asking, what were these movies teaching us? What did we not even realize they were teaching us? Hot and Bothered is me, Vanessa Zoltan, a pop culture critic and nice lady with opinions, and Hannah McGregor, a bona fide professor of media studies, loving love stories, and also just a little bit concerned. Come listen to Hot and Bothered.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
For 25 years, Brightview Senior Living Associates have been committed to creating a vibrant culture and delivering exceptional services, making Brightview a great place to work and live. If you're looking for a rewarding opportunity to serve your local community and grow, we want you to join our team. Brightview Senior Living is growing and actively seeking vibrant associates to join our community teams, including directors, healthcare, activities, hospitality, and dining. Apply today at careers.brightviewseniorliving.com.
Equal employment opportunities.
Text BVJobs to 97. 72111 to apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.